All right, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. So this is sort of a video to go with the conversation with Toady UK about a Brenda Toblin, video, high school teacher. Just the air track experiment, the Lewin air track experiment. So I'll just point out a few things just for clarification, and then I'll play the actual 4 seconds of the actual experiment and just point out all the details that need to be pointed out and so on and so forth. So I don't know why this PDF is in the wrong place. So I already have to pause. All right, I'm back. All right, so you can see here that they're describing the carts that come stock, I guess, with the product of the air track. So in the first viewing of the video, we sort of were under a misimpression that the red cart is a 300 gram cart, the green cart is 200 grams, and the gold cart is 100. And that's a wrong impression in terms of, you can see on the actual air track that the red cart is clearly not the longer, bigger one. Now, what you can also see from these photographed is these three objects were not photographed together. So you can see by the size of the rail on the top that the gold one was clearly photographed in a different photograph than the green one and the red one. And the sizes are completely non-proportional. Clearly the red one isn't one gold cart unit bigger than the green one. So obviously all three carts were photographed separately and the photographs were smashed together, even though they were obviously taken at different resolution. So it's not very useful. And as will be pointed out, you can kind of clearly see from this image that the gold cart is really one half the length of the red cart. The red cart is essentially twice the length of the gold cart and therefore twice the mass, because it's really a solid piece of aluminum, extruded aluminum. They're just cut to sizes, obviously. And there could be an argument that there's a little added weight, maybe 5 grams worth, that would be establishing these little springs. So when you add the springs, clearly you're adding 5 grams to 100 grams in the gold case, and you're only adding 5 grams to 200 grams in the red case, so it's not perfectly 50-50. I mean, it's not perfectly proportional. So the gold cart is actually a little more than half the weight of the red cart. So the gold cart's a little bit heavier. And so that obviously also can fudge the results a little. Now, other things I'll point out in a video, as you can see from this slope in the image, I suppose I can do something to make that more visible. Well, you can see it right here. The slope is pointed up, down there and pointed up here. There's a little perspective change. You can see the one timer is much bigger than the other timer, not just because it's 3 inches pushed back, but because the camera angle isn't exactly straight on. There's a slight angle to the camera angle. And so everything on the right-hand side is compressed, smaller than it really is. And everything on the left-hand side is bigger than it really is, if you want to look at it that way. So taking in that minor a bit of adjustment. So the other arguments are the timing gate. Usually they put a little card on the carts to give them the same ability to trigger the timer. So no matter what their mass is, they trigger the timer the same way. She didn't bother. So the carts themselves are triggering the timer. So you have to take that into account, that the red cart will give a timing reading that will be twice as big because it's twice as long. So it will record twice as much time for every event as the gold cart would. Another fluke of the timing is she argues that the second time, the time for the gold cart to go back through, you have to subtract it from the original time that it took the gold cart to go through. And you can do it by other means and definitely prove that that's not true. The second time is the total time the gold cart takes to go through. It's not, there's no subtractions required. The timer actually recorded the time it took for the gold cart. You don't subtract it from the original time. I think that's it. The tape measure is there, but it's too small and there's glare, you know, over a part of it, so it's not very useful. So I'm just going to play a video, a short one I made of how I did it, and then I'll run through the video and my numbers and demonstrate that this again confirms the professor. It doesn't confirm Professor Lewin's experiment. The results here, momentum is conserved and kinetic energy isn't. And that's the clear, in my opinion, result of this experiment. So this one is consistent with the scientific Arbor Scientific video that also showed Professor Lewin's video to be incorrect. All right, so I'll play a little video clip and then we'll continue. All right, should be back. So we'll play this little clip I made earlier. All right, what I did was I take a known quantity of distance, marked it on a piece of paper. See those two little marks there? And just measured the speed based on how many frames of video movement accomplished that distance, and use those numbers to establish the velocities. So purpose of this is just to show that. I guess you could just point out it's kind of obvious that this cart is twice the size of this cart, so it's twice the mass, not three times the mass. You can sort of see too that there's a little bit of a camera angle here, so you can see it in the slope of this bookshelf. And the slope of the desk is up. Clearly the perspective is compressed on this side of the screen. You can see that this timer box is smaller than this timer box. Slight, you know, it's back further, which doesn't help. But you can definitely see that there's a little bit of an angle to the video, which means that this is compressed. Everything here is compressed. So you have to account for that. So the numbers I got were 5 frames. Well, 4.8 for this cart, 10 for this cart, and the going back was 27 frames. And it all adds up, and so I'll show the math and the rest of it, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I'll be back. All right, so I've zoomed in a little bit here just so you can get a better view of the carts. And so this is the part where she's going to push the carts, and we'll, you know, do this frame by frame once we get it going. All right, so there you can see the two carts mostly next to each other. The argument, clearly you can see the cart, this is really a 2-mass cart, not a 3-mass cart, blah, blah, blah. And so I'll go some frame by frame, but you can sort of judge a distance for yourself. You could count the centimeters on the tape measure, but it's really kind of imperfect. But you can sort of see the frames are actually a little bit in the video, a little bit inconsistent. Like that one frame, it didn't change from the, you know, one frame, the previous frame. So there's a little glitch in the video, which isn't ideal either. But the closer they get to each other, you can basically see that these carts are really, it's a 1-mass cart and a 2-mass cart. So there's the impact. Now you'll clearly see, so just mark the position right here. Okay, I'll stick the mouse there. Well, I can't leave the mouse there. I used to be able to write on here, but it just isn't working. So anyway, you know, I should put some other object in, arrow or something, I guess. But just mark, it's right by the neck here, right? The neckline is right at the impact point. So as they move away from each other, you can clearly see that the red cart is going substantially faster than the gold cart. And so the more distance I create, the more you'll see that effect. So they haven't even gotten to the timing gates yet, and you'll see that the timer continues to count. All right, so here's our mark. All right, right here where the mouse is. So you can see that the red cart has passed twice as much distance. It's more than twice, actually, a little bit more than twice as much distance in the same time as the gold cart. So the gold cart's clearly going more than twice as slow that the red cart is going. So these are all kind of, like I said, I think irrefutable facts. So we will continue. And so you can see the timer. Now the gold cart, you won't see the timer change because the time came in and it's now going to record the second time. But from what I've just told you, you clearly know they can't be the same time, because the gold cart is going substantially slower than the red cart. Not a little bit slower, a lot slower. Now, it's half the size, so just remember the timing gate, when it goes through, when the red cart goes through, it's going to be a number that's twice as big as it should be. If it was the same size as the gold cart, then, you know, that would be the real velocity. If you're going to compare the two numbers, you have to compare the same amount of time through the gate. And so you're just basically going to say, whatever the red cart number is, I'm going to cut that number in half. All right, so we'll go through the gate. So the timer starts when the red cart goes into the gate, and then it'll stop when the red cart finishes going through the gate. And it's obviously the whole cart that goes through the gate. Again, you won't be able to see the gold cart going, it won't count visibly because it's recording it silently, so to speak. But you can see that it's counting, 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 and it gets through the gate, and that's the final velocity number. The gold cart isn't showing us the count, okay, but it's supposedly in there. Now the camera moves, which is another reason to say, gee, why didn't they film this straight on? You know, it would have been so much better. But anyway. All right, so now the two numbers have been recorded, and I'll just play the rest of the video. I don't think I have to point out too many other things. You can see the glare on the tape measure, which makes it kind of useless. It's also, you really can't, yeah, it's not very visible. I think it's safer to actually, the way method I use, I think it has better quality numbers than using the tape measure. But you can see, even in the tape measure, you can see how the divisions are getting smaller at this end than they are at this end because of the slight perspective change, that this isn't a straight-on video. And again, you can see the slope of the bookshelf all indicating that this is a broken perspective, not perfect. All right, well, turn the sound back on, and she can explain the timer, and I'll say that I don't think it works that way. I think she's just wrong. I don't think she understands. I mean, you know, I hate to insult somebody's, to say they're making a mistake, but I think she's making a mistake. I don't think timers work that way. I haven't seen any timers that work this way, and clearly the numbers are wrong. So the number's going to come up, and it's going to be 17. Now, you know, 1-7 something something. Now you can just know that the other card is twice as big, I mean twice as long. So if I cut this number in half, I get 7 something, you know, 14 cut in half. And that other number is not going to be high enough to accurately point out that the other card is leaving substantially slower than the red cart did. So we'll just play that through.
You should have seen the time on the gold cart photo gate here on your left change when it first went through, but it did not change on the way back. Since the red cart only went through the photo gate once, the time that's on here is the time for the red cart to go through. But for the gold cart.
So again, it's the time for it to go through being twice as long. So to be consistent with the other cart, you have to cut it in half.
The initial time that shows is the time to go through, and not until you hit the recall button, which is the top button here, do you see a time that represents the gold cart going through and going back. So in order.
So she's arguing that you have to subtract the 3 number from the 17 number, and you'd end up with the 14 number, which would mean it's exactly half as slow. And I think clearly you can see it's more than half. So that wouldn't make sense. So if I have 14 here and I have 14 here and this one gets cut in half, you know, the other 14, you can sort of understand, well, that doesn't leave much latitude for the fact that it's clearly going less than half the speed, the gold cart. Again, my number is 27 versus 10. So, you know, I would say what I measured was the red cart was 20 before I cut it in half, and the gold cart was 27. So you can see clearly not going to work in terms of 10 is not half of, you know, 10 would be more than half of 27, where 14 wouldn't be. That would be exactly half, and it's not exactly half. All right, so all of the fact that you have to go through all of this crap, you know, is just an indication why this is all a little bit, we should have a better experiment than this. All right, so we'll play the rest of this.
To get the time for the gold cart moving backwards through the photogate, you have to take the original time value and subtract it from the cumulative recall time.
All right, so I'm saying that's not correct. Yeah, so I guess that's it for the video. So I'll get rid of that because we're kind of done with the video, I believe. All right, can't get the other camera working at the moment, but this will probably be good enough if I turn it appropriately. They're almost readable enough numbers. So the going in frame rate was 4.9. The red car left at 20, but that gets cut to 10 because the cart's twice as long. So it's 10. No, it was 10 on my measured card. Sorry. So, yeah, that doesn't get affected by the double size of the cart, this number. So 4.9, 10, which, you know, overtly, you know, is saying this is a little faster or slower, a little slower. So 10 would be a little bit slower than 4.9, a little bit slower than half the speed. And 27, you know, for the cart coming back. So kind of a big number, three times slower almost. So any one of these numbers, because of this perspective change, you could change this to a 9.5, and this could obviously be a 28 or a 26, and blah, blah, blah. So what you do is divide those numbers into 100 to get these proportional numbers, all right? And you take those numbers, and what I've done is, I think as a practical fact, you can know that both carts have the attachments on them. They have the same attachment. So I said 10 grams for the attachment. So we're going to multiply the small cart times 1.1 and the big cart times 2.1. This would be 200 grams plus 10. And this would be 100 grams plus 10. And then you get these numbers. So the ingoing momentum is 22. The outgoing is 21 in the red cart and 4 in the gold cart coming back. So you get numbers of, when you do this multiplication, this is, yes, this is just this added up. All right, so this is where you did the, I did the times, this times 1.1, this times 1.2, I mean 2.1, and this times 1.1. You do that, and then you get these numbers, and if you add those numbers up, yes, you have more momentum going out, but it's well within the margin of error. So it's a 5% error, so if you're correct for a 5% error, you have the same numbers. So it clearly shows that momentum is conserved, there is no extra momentum, and obviously the kinetic energies would not be conserved. So in my opinion, it demonstrates an outcome that is completely different than Professor Lewin's outcome. So yeah, that should be it. So do it for yourself. The link to the video will be provided in the, you know, description to the Brenda Toblin video. And, yeah, I'm just saying, it's pretty good evidence that there's something wrong with Professor Lewin's video. And wrong not in, wrong in a substantial way. It doesn't prove kinetic energy. It proves there's something wrong with the kinetic energy formula. It doesn't validate it. It, in a sense, debunks it quite clearly. So we have Arbor Scientific. We have this video. Plus we have the second Professor Lewin video, where in the same video he does the experiment where he's attempting to have two cars stick to each other and they don't stick. So he's pushes a one mass into a two mass. They're supposed to stick. They don't stick. They bounce. And they do the same as this. So we have three experiments in direct conflict to Professor Lewin's original experiment. And one of the experiments is Professor Lewin's experiment. That should be pretty good reason for you to at least be open to this conversation and have some doubt that it's a clear and undeniable fact, and that anybody who says you haven't convinced me shouldn't be insulted. I think it's unreasonable for you to argue the evidence isn't, at minimum, interestingly contradictory. All right, so we'll call that a video. So this has been a draftphysics.com video presentation. Till the next time and such.